Case,
Our next case is number 12,066. J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company are seeking a special use exception for a convalescent home, nursing home, and or homes for the aged. Section 115-23 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the south side of Plantation Road, approximately 600 feet southeast of the intersection of Postal Lane and Plantation Road. The 911 address is not available. The zoning district is AR1. The tax map is District 334, map 12, parcel 52. We received 0 letters of opposition, 11 mail returns, and 1 letter of support. And the letter of support is written by the members of HKLS LLC. They are members of the HKLS LLC, the entity which owns the property immediately northwest of the site of the proposed senior housing facility. Their property, tax parcel 330, District 334, map 12, parcel 51, is located at the intersection of Plantation Road and Postal Lane. They are writing to support the special use exception request submitted by Plantation Partners LLC. The area along Plantation Road has houses, townhomes, condominiums, and other small businesses and similar uses, including a paramedic facility. Having a senior living facility on this road makes sense as it will be a residentially based use in close proximity to services that the residents may need. They reviewed the concept plans with representatives from Plantation Partners LLC and were pleased to see that it is proposed to set back from Plantation Road on a large parcel, which will enhance the appearance of Plantation Road. We hope the board acts favorably on this application, and it's signed Kenneth Martin, Sherry Martin, Harry Anagnostikos, and Linda Anagnostikos. And just for the record, the applicant provided a sketch plan as well as the Delta Dot service level valuation results.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record? Okay, let's get everybody else on for everybody at the same time.
It's your Motley Crew.
Yes. Craig Gardner, Davis Colonel, 1 Park Avenue, Milford, Delaware, 19563.
Nick Hammonds, 246 Rehoboth Avenue.
Do the three of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I did.
Thank you.
When we thought it'd be a short meeting. When we thought it'd be a short meeting.
We have to take a break. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Same thing we got.
I don't know. There was a question if the site plan they handed out was the same site plan that was.
It looks strikingly similar. The difference is there's a parking difference. And just so when I talk, you don't really need to fold or unfold. I can tell you what the difference is, and it'll probably have the same effect as you opening it up and looking at it.
Okay.
Or reopening a new one as opposed to the one that I saw you all spending the time to try to open and fold into the right position.
All right.
Thank you.
Are we waiting for help? She has a conflict with the whole firm.
Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
We'll just recognize that Mrs. McGee is still recused from, or Ms. McGee is still is recused from this application as well.
Yes.
Okay, sir.
Good evening. My name, I think everybody knows me, I've been here a few times. My name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown. Tonight I'm representing the applicant, Plantation Partners, LLC. With me tonight, the individuals who were just sworn in are two of the principals of Plantation Partners. One is Nick Hammonds, the other is Doug Motley. And we also have an engineer with us from Davis Bone and Friedel, Ring Lardner, who I'm sure has been in front of this body before as well. The exhibit notebooks, as well as the revised sketch plan that were just handed down, hopefully will help explain this application tonight, and I would ask that they be made a part of the record for tonight's proceeding. A copy of the application itself is included within the exhibit notebook that you have in front of you. That's at Exhibit E, and that's just, I know that there's packets that are made, but it's also that way. It's in your notebook for you and right in front of you. As stated, when Ms. Walls introduced the application, tonight's application by Plantation Partners is for a special use exception for a senior living facility, also known as an assisted living facility. We'll talk about this in a little bit more detail in a minute, but the property is zoned AR1 and pursuant to Section 115-23, specifically subsection C and subsection under that 4, a senior living facility is a permitted use with a special use exception from the Board of Adjustment. That section doesn't call it a senior living facility. There is, as you know, some somewhat dated language in the zoning code, and the zoning code refers to what today we would call an assisted living facility or a senior living facility as a convalescent home, nursing home, or home for the aged. As the board knows, because there was already one tonight that was discussed, a special use exception is different from the variance applications, which you heard. The last several applications were, and the first one was a special use exception. And the special use is permitted if the board finds that the special use will not substantially adversely affect the uses of adjacent and neighboring property. The question before the board tonight is not whether or not this will have any effect on the neighboring adjacent properties. The question before the board tonight is a specific question, and that is whether or not what's being proposed will have a substantial adverse effect on the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties. With a record that is going to be presented through me and the other speakers who will be addressing the board, we believe that what will be established is that there will not be any adverse effect on the neighboring and adjacent properties. One other thing that is important to note is one thing that tonight is not, and tonight is not a site plan review. As the board is aware, if the special use exception is approved this evening, what will occur is the applicant will go out and prepare a preliminary site plan based upon any conditions that the board may put on its approval. Once the applicant has a preliminary site plan, and probably simultaneous with that, the applicant would then undertake the process of obtaining agency approvals from agencies such as DLDOT, the State Fire Marshal's Office, Sussex Conservation District, and all the various state and county agencies that get to review plans prior to the applicant submitting a final site plan and actually receiving approval for the site plan and then being able to move forward with the actual development of the site. Tonight's application is for a 10-acre piece of a property that lies just south of the intersection of Cedar Grove Road and Postal Lane with Plantation Road. What you have on the Sussex County tax map, which you have on the screens in front of you, shows what is approximately a 124-acre piece of land that is currently used agriculturally and is owned by J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company and has been owned by them for more than half a century. The deeds showing their ownership that dates back into the 1940s for part of it and 1950s for another part are included in your exhibit notebook as Exhibit D.
You say half a century, like that's a long time. Careful.
What is shown on you on the screen right now is an aerial overlay showing the approximately 10-acre parcel. To be precise, it's 10.39 acres, with one alternative of a layout for the facility. And as you can see on the screen, You can see the intersection, the recently improved intersection where Postal Lane and Cedar Grove Road intersect with Postal Lane. As you know, that's now a signaled intersection, and Cedar Grove Road was realigned so that it would match up with Postal Lane on the other side of Plantation Road. As was stated a moment ago, the question before the board tonight is the effect on neighboring and adjacent properties. And as you can see when you look at the screen, the impact on neighboring and adjacent properties is largely to the applicant or the owner of the property themselves. Obviously, this is a rectangular piece of property, so there are four sides to it. On two of the sides, the property is bounded by other lands owned by the owner of the property, J.G. Townsend. And on the easternmost side, of course, Plantation Roads forms a boundary. And on the northerly side of the property, there are two properties which are adjacent to it. And one of those is owned by HKLS LLC. And as you may recall, when Ms. Walls read the matter into the record, she also read portions of a letter of support which was submitted by HKLS LLC, the neighbor to the northern side of the property. When you expand the view from just the immediately adjacent and neighboring properties to consider the greater area in the neighborhood, you can see on there the various communities, developments, and commercial uses that are highlighted. This same exhibit is tab C1 in your exhibit notebook. It might be easier to look at the actual paper copy in there. When you see the greater area that surrounds this, when you take an aerial view, and sort of the bird's eye view of this, you will see that there are amongst the sort of neighboring communities along this corridor, you will see that there are both commercial and residential uses. Probably the easiest way to describe it is to start with Plantation Road, which basically begins at Five Points with the Lowe's at the Five Point intersection. And then as you travel south on Plantation Road, you go past various residential communities, which are highlighted on what you see in front of you. You have Henlopen Landing, a relatively new condominium community across the street from that, Somerset Green. Moving south from that, there are some doctor's offices and other professional offices, a physical therapy office. Then you get to, as you move down Plantations Road, you of course come to the Plantations community and Plantations East on the opposite, on the eastern side of Plantations Road. And as you move further south along there, you have obviously the site. Directly across the site, you have Idalot Estates. And to the north of Idalot Estates, I skipped over Sandy Bray, which lies between Plantations Road and Postal Lane. If you can continue south on Plantation Road, there is the Plantation Park Community Center. There's a church immediately south of that. Below that is a zoning application that's pending to rezone a property to B1. Below that, you have the new emergency medical services for Sussex County, their new EMS. And below that, you have Midway Acres. And of course, then you come to Route 24 or John J. Williams Highway. Obviously, if you jump across the highway, you have the BB Medical Campus, and as many of you may recall, BB Medical has indicated that maybe as soon as 2018 or 19, they're going to be expanding that facility there, as well as several of their other facilities. And so as you can see, when you look down the Plantation Road corridor, there's a mixture of residential uses and commercial type uses.
One question. Where that site at? Is that farm ground around that? Is that tillable ground, or what is that beside that? Where the site's at? Where your site's at right there? Yeah, what's that on the opposite side? Is that farm ground? Tillable farm ground right there?
Correct, yes.
Okay, nothing there. Just that farm.
That's correct.
Okay, I couldn't tell.
Okay,
If you look in your exhibit notebook at tab C6, you will see aerial imagery that uses the current tax parcel layout, which has been done as an aerial overlay over the imagery from 1992. And as you can see, plantations, the original plantations community on the western side of the highway exists, but plantations east, there are no homes have been built there. You can see that directly across the street from the site, Idalot Estates has not been fully developed yet. And you can, as you look up and down that, you can see the differences between that, and then if you actually turn in your exhibit notebook to the very next exhibit, that's a current aerial image which looks very similar to what you see on your screen there, but without the labels of the various communities. And you can see, obviously, the great amount of growth that has occurred just from 1992 until current 2017. In your exhibit notebook, there are 12 maps or plats that signify various things. I don't intend to walk through each one of them tonight so that Mr. Mills can make his way home sooner rather than later.
Do as you need.
Second that motion.
But very quickly, I did want to summarize them a little bit. Those maps would show, if you were to look through them, at each one individually, that the property is not located in a floodplain, that it contains no wetlands, that it is not in a source water protection area, and that the soils on the site are appropriate for this type of development or this type of facility. A few of the maps in that zoning section, or the map section that I did want to go over, are begin with map C3, or tab C3 rather, which is the 2015 state strategies map. And as you look at that, you will see the various colors that exist on it. And you can see the sites highlighted as being in an investment level 2 area. And what that means is that the state supports a broad mix of housing options in this area. I know the board doesn't see as many of those types of applications, but the state identifies the state strategies by levels 1 through 4. And as you can see on there, the most intense uses are right along Route 1. And then as you move out into the more rural areas, obviously the number decreases. And this is a investment level strategy 2, which is where you transition from those intense uses like the outlets and such along Route 1, and then transition into the more rural items. And as indicated, under the state strategies level, investment level 2 is an area that supports a broad mix of housing options, like the one being proposed this evening. If you turn to exhibit C for tab C4, you will see Sussex County's future land use map is there. And as you can see, if we were zoomed out of it, you would see that all the lines on that map are actually cross-hatching. And what that signifies is that the property is within the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone. And that means that this is a growth and development area within Sussex County, and which under its comprehensive plan, development is anticipated and encouraged in these areas, which also likely explains why you can see the difference between the 1992 aerial imagery when compared to the 2017 imagery. The last map that I was going to highlight within tab C is the very next map, which is C5. And that is the county's zoning map, and that shows that the land is zoned AR1 and is surrounded by the balance of the J.G. Townsend Farm, which is also zoned AR1, and to the north it touches some medium-density residential properties. And you will also see, obviously, you can see the commercial areas as you approach Route 1 and as you move south towards Route 24. It doesn't pick up the commercial areas because of where it's zoomed in at the northern end of Plantation Road. The site will be supplied with central water for both domestic and fire protection by Tidewater Utilities. That's the water utility provider in this area. A central sewer is available through the Sussex County Unified Sewer District. And this project, what you see in front of you, was submitted to the Office of State Planning Coordination through what's known as the PLUS process. And that process essentially is a process in which the state puts together a number of agencies so that they're all in one place, and a developer has the benefit of all of their review in one meeting, in one context, and that you receive a series of comments back, or a letter with comments about your proposed project. This project was submitted to the Office of State Planning Coordination and received a letter. And there is, if you look at tab G in your exhibit notebook, you will see that the engineers for the project, Davis Bone and Friedel, have prepared a detailed response to each of the various agencies' comments about this project. The PLUS letter is not an objection. What it does is it summarizes comments and from each of the various agencies. And as you look through that letter, you'll see it's a lengthy letter. But the comments from the State Office of Planning Coordination are in italics, and the response from the applicant are the bold comments that are below that. One of the comments, and a good example of the type of comments that come from the Office of State Planning Coordination in the PLUS process, one of those agencies that submits reports to them is the State Historic Preservation Office. Mm-hmm. And as you can, if you were to turn to the report in tab G, you will see that one of their things that they referenced was that there was a cemetery that was on the balance of the property that's going to remain a part of the J.G. Townsend lands and not be part of this project. And there was also a, which was the cemetery for a prior church that was located there, which is the Ebenezer, appropriate, I think, for this time of year, I suppose, to have something with the name Ebenezer in it, but the Ebenezer Methodist Episcopal Church Cemetery. Based upon that comment and concern, the developer retained the services of an archaeologist, Ed Otter, and they asked him to go out and delineate the cemetery to obviously make sure that the roadway does not interfere at all with any parts of the cemetery. What you have in front of you on the screen is the sketch plan, the one that many of you unfolded as the application was being introduced, and then a new plan was sent down for you. If you look along Cedar Grove Road, you will see the entrance to the back of the facility, as it were, and in the bend of the driveway, you will see there's a cemetery labeled there. And that is what the State Historic Office indicated that the developer should be aware of, and also be conscious of the fact that sometimes there are unmarked graves at some of these cemeteries, which have been there for longer than half a century. as I indicated, Ed Otter is an archaeologist who the developer retained. If you look at tab F in your exhibit notebook, you will see Mr. Otter's preliminary report. And I would highlight the last sentence of his report, which is, based on this work, the construction of the roadway around the cemetery will not impact any burials. And the description of his work actually is on the pages that follow that. And if you look at the last page in Exhibit F, you'll see the lines showing where they undertook some trenching to make sure that there were no unmarked graves in that location. Again, that's an example of the type of comments that you receive from the PLUS process. Of course, another agency that would respond to the PLUS process is DelDOT regarding traffic. And prior to the applicant filing the current special use exception request with the Office of Planning and Zoning, the applicant had filed a service level evaluation request with DelDOT, which is done through the Planning and Zoning Office. And if you look at tab H in your exhibit notebook, you will see DelDOT's response to the service level evaluation request. And if you look towards the bottom, actually at the very the last paragraph, at the bottom of the first page of that, you will see that the proposed land use, the special use exception request before you tonight, will generate fewer than 50 vehicle trips in any hour and fewer than 500 vehicle trips per day. As you read on through that paragraph, you'll see that those are significant numbers at DelDOT because, and if we skip down a sentence, because the proposed land use would not meet these warrants, the 50 trips per hour and 500 trips per day, DelDOT considers the development's traffic impact to be negligible, and we do not recommend that the applicant be required to perform a traffic impact study, or TIS, for the subject application. As you can see, based on the sketch plan in front of you, the proposed site will have two access points. We discussed the one that goes, that bends around the cemetery that is there, and that entrance lies off of Cedar Grove Road. The other entrance will, of course, be on Plantation Road, which will be just south of the intersection with Cedar Grove Road and Postal Lane. Obviously, before the a developer could move forward, they would have to get approval from DelDOT for all of their entrances and go through that process. And that's what I indicated at the outset. That would be part of the site plan approval process, which is separate from the process that we're here tonight on. That comes if the board approves the special use exception request. Another agency that, in addition to the Historic Preservation Office, in addition to DelDOT, another agency that you would see if you look through the PLUS report is obviously DENREC files a response to this, and you would see their comments there over matters like stormwater management. And again, that is typically something that's done through more extensively through the site plan process, but the developer will certainly meet all of DENREC stormwater regulation requirements that and will obtain approval through DENREC and through locally here, the Sussex Conservation District, utilizing best management practices and best available technology for stormwater management on the site. Well, I've said several times that this is not a site plan review process. I know people always want to have some concept of what exactly the facility would entail and what it might look like. The special use exception request that was filed, the application you have in front of you tonight, is for 160,100 square feet, which would accommodate a 144-unit facility. The planned facility is for an upscale senior living center. As the board is aware, even if it grants the special use exception, that doesn't change the bulk area and height requirements or setback requirements for the site. There's still a maximum height in Sussex County of 42 feet. All of the same setbacks apply that apply to the single-family homes along this road, as well as all the commercial businesses. Again, the only difference would be if some of the change of zone requests that are pending or have been approved on Sussex County. Obviously, commercial properties have different setbacks than the single-family or multifamily homes that exist along Plantations Road in that section. Because of the acreage that is available to the applicant on this 10-acre site, the applicant is going to set the structure 60 feet back from Plantation Road, which is more than is required under the Sussex County Code, but it will enhance the streetscape as well as the overall view as the and give it a nice approach and entrance to the facility so that they can, again, maintain the targeted goal of an upscale retirement facility. And again, while no exact building layout has been completed yet, what you see on the screen in front of you, which is Exhibit J or Tab J in your notebook, are examples of architecture and styles that reflect an upscale a senior living facility similar to what Plantation Partners has in mind as it seeks to develop the site. The proposed facility would be a three-story facility, again similar to to what you see in these images. The need for senior living facilities in Sussex County is probably well documented, maybe even over documented. The most recent United States Census Bureau information, which I know was shared with the board about a year ago through the Truett Homestead application, indicated that the population of Sussex County increased 9.4% in the five-year period from 2010 to 2015. And in Sussex County, nearly one in four of its residents is over 65 years of age. And most of the population increase has been in the area around the beaches and east of 113. The facility would require 74 spaces for a 144-unit facility, and that's actually a change between the plots that were originally in the file and then the ones that were handed out to you. What you will see if you look is that there is 99 spaces that are shown, even though only 74 are required, and that's because there's ample room here for parking, and of course, when you have your busier times of year, when people will be visiting family and friends, during the summer season, of course, here in our area, as well as holidays, there would be ample parking, and there would be no issues with being able to find parking on the site. At this time, I'm going to ask if Doug Motley from Plantation Partners would explain to the board what the need is in this specific area. The Plantation Partners had a market study done, and I'm going to ask him if he can go over what was discussed there, and also who or what type of organization might be the operator of the facility.
Doug Motley, for the record.
Good evening. Sure.
So broadly, we conducted an analysis internally, which was subsequently further verified by an independent market study, which really proved that aging in place is challenging in eastern Sussex right now. And there's a couple reasons why, but one of the main drivers of that is very limited supply of places, you know, facilities to accommodate that while growing demand. So the demand is growing from kind of two factors. One is residents that are here already. The other is the children of the potential residents. So if you have people that maybe have parents that are in their 70s, 80s, or even older, the kids may live here, but the parents are right now living in other areas because there's not enough availability. The occupancy of most of the existing facilities is close to 100%, if not at 100%. And there hasn't been any new construction to provide this type of service in the market. So that's from a broad level. And when we kind of take a step down and look at what our goal is to provide at this project, you know, we carry that same theme that, you know, our goal is to enable people to age in place within our facility. And that will cover the spectrum of independent living to assisted living, and then also to memory care components. The mix of that is still to be determined, but what our goal is to provide a first-class facility that provides ancillary services so that our residents can age in place as their needs change over time and as they get older. So we are working right now with three different operators that are very well established in the region and across the country that have are very like-minded in their desire to provide a best-in-class facility, agree that the market warrants the type of project that we're talking about here, and they're all committed to providing, you know, the scope of services that we think will fit well here.
Okay.
And the image that is on the screen is also Exhibit I in your notebook, and that is part of that continuum of care. You can see from the chart how the level of care moves from the left to right with more independent living to obviously some of the memory care, which requires more supervision from the facility. One other question that often rises in special use exception requests in particular is whether the proposed use will have a negative impact on values of adjacent properties. As was indicated at the outset, the most immediate properties are either owned by the property owner for this application or by the HKLS entity, which is to the north and has supported this application. But to help answer that question, Harold Carmine, a general certified appraiser from the Carmine Appraisal Group, put together a study of other assisted living facilities in Sussex County, particularly eastern Sussex County, and their surrounding residential real estate markets. If you look at tab K in your notebook, you'll see Mr. Carmine's report, and you'll see if you turn to the third page, you'll see community names of the communities that you'll all recognize, the first one being Cadbury, and I'll just skip to the very last sentence of that. It states that, in fact, residential communities in the immediate market area, and that's along Gills Neck Road, of course, surrounding Cadbury, are among the highest valued properties in the resort area. Below that, Mr. Carmine looked at Harbor Healthcare, which, as most of you probably know, is located within the reserves at Pilottown. And the last sentence there again says that there was no negative impact on property values as a result of the assisted living facility. The next one down is Brandywine at Seaside Point, which is located on the east side of Route 1. And that one indicates that there is a giant grocery store in front of it, as well as a relatively recent office building that is now 95% occupied. The next application is the one I referenced earlier, in which the board heard almost exactly a year ago from this date, which was Truett Homestead. And you can see that the price point of the base model prices in the community that's going to surround the assisted living facility is the average of that would be a $400,000 price range. Significant to the question of the impact on neighboring adjacent properties is the conclusion reached by Mr. Carmine, which you can see as the last two paragraphs on that last page, which is that based on the market data and our experience in valuing commercial and residential development in the resort, we can conclude that assisted living facilities do not negatively impact property values in the immediate market area of the subject. In fact, it appears that the resort area is predominantly a retirement community, and upscale assisted living facilities are an integral part of the community landscape and contribute to the enhancement of the living environment and actually provide a contribution to property values within the market area. Of course, in addition to the market value of surrounding properties, a facility like this would employ people. There's obviously the initial construction costs of the facility, but as far as an ongoing enterprise, it has been estimated by some of those operators that Mr. Motley just referenced that there would be approximately 75 people who'd be employed in a facility of this size. And not all of those would be full-time, but the 75 people would equate to approximately 50 full-time jobs in the area. At this time, I'm going to ask Mr. Motley and Mr. Lardner if they were paying attention while I was talking, and ask them if they are familiar with this application. Ask Mr. Lardner to speak first. Mr. Lardner, you've heard the presentation tonight regarding this project. If you can tell the board, what is your involvement with the project?
I'm the site engineer for the project. I helped develop the sketch plan, put together the application, file the SLDR, coordinate with Mr. Otter on the cemetery study to ensure the project complied with the county code and presented before you this evening.
And Mr. Lardner, you've heard what I stated. Was what I stated accurate, and to the extent that I stated anything that had an engineering degree or required an engineering degree, which I don't have, was it correct?
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Motley, we indicated at the outset, I believe, that you're a principal of Plantation Partners, LLC?
That's correct.
And you heard the testimony this evening. Was what was stated on the record correct?
Yes.
As was mentioned at the outset of the presentation, The legal standard for a special use exception is whether or not it will have a substantial adverse effect on neighboring adjacent properties. As you can tell, the proposed use this evening is a residential use. This would be the people who would live there, it would be their residence. And because of that, this isn't like some types of special use exceptions where you see where it's because there's going to be a lot of noise or odors or something or light generated. This is a residential type use appropriate for the mixed uses that are along the Plantation Road corridor. Again, you don't have the nuisances or the annoyances that you would think of. I know the board sees certain types of special use exception requests that involve those types of things, but this is not one that has noise, light, odors, other than your standard residential type matters of cars coming and going from a property, and also, of course, things like mowing the property and just simple maintaining of a residential type property. As was indicated, this is part of a process, and there would be a lot more review of this. If the board approves this portion, the applicant would then move forward with their site plan and obtain all the necessary approvals from DLDOT, Sussex Conservation District, State Fire Marshal, and all the other various agencies that require approval. There are public utilities available for the project, water and sewer. The images that you were shown show that what is sought here is an upscale, architecturally pleasing facility that will help complement the other homes and properties and businesses that are on the Plantation Road corridor. From a traffic standpoint, DLDOT in its report indicated that the traffic was negligible, meaning that there was no traffic impact study required because it was less than 500 trips per day and 50 trips in a peak hour. And near the end of the presentation, you saw the report from Mr. Carmi, a certified appraiser with more than 40 years' experience, regarding the effect, and frankly the lack of effect, on property values, and his conclusion, which was reached, that in fact the other sites in Sussex County, which were all eastern Sussex County, similar in nature to the proposed site, there's actually a good correlation, and perhaps even it enhances those property values, and those are very vibrant real estate markets, and there are examples there of both commercial and residential properties. The last tab in your notebook is what I'll conclude with, and that is tab O, and tab O contains a list of proposed findings of fact. And if you look through those findings of fact, which are labeled as numbers 1 through 22, you will see that that's essentially a summary of the record that was established and placed before you this evening for decision. And what follows that are proposed conditions of approval for this site, and there are 8 of those listed. I'm going to just highlight the first two. The first two reflect the application and then what you heard me say during the presentation, and that is that the application is for a senior living facility for 144 residential units within structure or structures comprising a maximum of 160,100 square feet. Then the second one there is the additional 20 feet of front yard setback that Plantation Partners is proposing, as I discussed during the presentation, to have the building be 60 feet from Plantations Road as opposed to the 40 feet that's required under the AR1 zone. With that, the applicant would ask that the board rule favorably on its special use exception, and myself and the other members who are here tonight from Plantation Partners, as well as Mr. Lardner, are available for any questions the board may have.
All righty. All right, thank you. I'll see him. We'll start with you, Mr. Mills.
Very thorough presentation. Thank you.
Okay.
I agree. Very, very well presented. No questions.
Mr. Wharton?
No question. Great job on presenting it to us.
Great layout. Yep, I go along. I have no question. It was a very good presentation.
Great access.
Yes. So, well, Mr. Sharp.
Just a couple. The lights for the parking lot, are they going to be, I presume there'll be lights in those parking lots?
Most likely, yes.
Okay, is it intended for those to be downward directed? Or for there be some sort of screening for the lights on? I see heads nodding, so I don't know if one of your witnesses want to testify to that. But
Mr. Motley?
Yes, they would be down, screened so that the light's projected downward.
And will there be any fences or trees along the border of the property at all?
There'll be landscaping, you know, throughout the property. Obviously, there's one of the amenities kind of it will be some outdoor active, you know, walkways, things like that. So it's important to us for the landscaping, et cetera, to be consistent with the architecture of the building. We haven't gone through the landscape design plan yet, but trees and bushes and flowers and all that would be part of the ultimate landscape.
And one of the proposed conditions, if I'm interrupting Mr. Sharp, is number seven, is that the applicant will submit as part of the site plan review process a landscape plan showing the proposed trees and shrubs that Mr. Motley was just describing.
And I guess from a parking perspective, you indicated I think there was 99 lots?
99. The sketch plan that I just handed out and the one that you saw on the screen, and it's also in your exhibit notebook, shows 99 parking places.
But I recognize probably not all the employees will be there at the same time, but I think you had indicated there'd be approximately 70, 75 or so employees.
What the operator had told Mr. Motley, I believe, was that the total employment for a facility of this size with that number of units is about 75, which equates to 50 full-time positions. And I see Mr. Lardner would like to
comment on parking. I know you kind of touched on it, but I guess I just wanted to make sure that from a parking and traffic perspective that right. You know, we're not going to have a situation where all the employees are taking up all the spaces or not room for people.
Right, the spaces were derived from the county code, which requires our interpretation, and we'll go through the site plan process of 144 units. There's one space for every four beds, so that comes out to 36 spaces. And then one space for every two employees. We projected 75 employees, so that required 38 spaces. That's where the 74 come together. We had extra room, so there's a total of 99 spaces. So as far as my interpretation, we're in conformance with the county code. Okay. And we'll review that with staff prior to presenting the formal preliminary site plan application should you rule favorably tonight or a future meeting.
And I presume most there'll be a shuttle service for the residents if need be. Is that usually correct. In the cards? Okay. All right. Thank you. I have no further questions.
And actually, Mr. Sharp, the numbers that Mr. Lardner just went over, in addition to being on the sketch plan, Tab B in your exhibit notebook, which is one of the ones that I didn't go into a detailed, is a data sheet for that, which has all the math on the number of parking places that are required, as well as sort of the bulk area height requirements for this for the plan.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Hearing no further question, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, sir, you need to come up here and be sworn in, if you would, please, and then you can ask the question. Thank you. Step right down there, sir.
We'll just get your name, and then you can ask whatever question.
Wayne Robertson, live in Adelaide Estates.
And your address?
34505 Michelle Drive.
Okay, and do you swear or affirm that whatever testimony you may give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I hope so.
Thank you. Have the podium.
Thank you, sir. Now.
What has concerned me about this is not so much the nursing home or the facility itself. But previously, there was a building approved to go on that corner, and it was passed through. And the building was just big enough to fit on the lot, which left no room for a runoff pond or a Class 5 ag well, either one, whichever you would decide to call it. I work for the federal government, and the proposal there was to let the groundwater run right down back into the ground. It's a very, very novel idea until something happens. We destroyed 17 acres of ground in a three-story building that was brand new for one spill that you couldn't clean up under the building because it hit the groundwater and it's over. Over in Adelaide Estates, we probably have half of us have ag wells for irrigation. I wouldn't want that to spread. And this ground out there does drain very, very quickly. As far as the traffic out there, I think it may be a little bit of an askew data, maybe 50 automobiles a day, but you're talking about 70 some employees, 140 units, so you just figure half of those are cars. Now, if you try to get 50 automobiles out there during the course of 8 hours on any weekend or any time from maybe the end of May through the end of September, forget it. because you go down, you hit Warrington Road, and that road's backed up. Thank God they still have a four-way stop that moves traffic. If you put a light down there, it's going to be devastating. I've seen traffic backed all the way up to Lowe's. Maybe the option would be to see about getting that road fixed and make some other avenues that they can get relieve that traffic, because everybody seems to have found that area down there. But that's my biggest concern, since without seeing any engineering and then looking at the position of the things, I don't see where one could possibly be on there. They may have runoff ponds, but okay, without them, you're taking a real chance. It only takes one spill. And if you've got 150 automobiles there at any given time over a period of a week, you do have leaks and oil, and it does accumulate. So, well, thank you very much. Yes.
Well, one of the things, just so that you know, when the applicant goes, if this were to be approved and the applicant were to go to the next step through the site review process, yes, they're going to have to demonstrate that the storm water is managed all on their property.
Well, they did that before, and Denrec kind of erroneously decided that was okay until I talked to Chris Weeks, who was the engineer, and he agreed with me. He said this was the only way they could do it, and it kind of a pan-off thing, and I don't appreciate that because I live right across the street from it, and I've seen the devastating effects of Low Creek and all of those simply for stupidity, because they drilled a hole through the bottom of the containment for the school. Anyway, that's just a concern I have. Maybe they need a little more acreage to do that. I don't know. But it's only in the planning
stage right
but it's
now.
Something that's on my mind, and that would be my reason for being against it.
All right, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Hearing no other, the chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I think the applicant has demonstrated that the requested use will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties. We did just hear testimony from potential opposition that it may have an adverse effect, but there was nothing presented that would suggest otherwise in regard to a substantially adverse effect. Therefore, I would make a motion that we approve case number 12066. And further in my motion would ask that we adopt the findings of facts that were presented by the applicant, as well as the proposed conditions for approval.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'd second that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Mears that we approve case number 12066 and that we adopt the finding of the facts as they were presented. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Workman?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Mayor?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Mills?
Aye, for my reason.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reasons that had been stated. So by a vote of 4-0, case number 12066 is approved. Hey. Yeah, we'll stay in recess for about 5 minutes, please.